The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they went silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we have our share of aches and pains, and we pray that you would heal us, that you would show us new remedies. In your holy name we pray, amen. New remedies. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Why doesn't Jesus miraculously heal people with diseases today? We are Jesus. We are the body of Christ. If we want healing today, we have to make it happen. There are cures out there to heal us from our greatest pains. There are new remedies. The truth of the matter is that our medical system is profoundly dysfunctional. The whole thing is based on making money and not on healing people. We all know that a better system is possible and would be infinitely better than what we have now. Why don't we have a better system? Let's look to Scripture and our story this morning from the Bible. Jesus heals this man with a withered hand, and he does it for free. Now the man is now free to go, to get a job, to be able to provide for himself in a way that he hadn't before. This would make everyone happy, you would think, but it didn't. Not everyone was happy about it. The Pharisees and the Herodians didn't like it at all. They said they were upset because Jesus was working on the Sabbath. They were plucking grain where they weren't supposed to, plucking grain at all, and then he was healing. What they mean by working is doing something that they didn't deem appropriate. They don't want anyone to solve problems on their own accord. They don't want people to think for themselves. They want us to put our heads down and blindly obey their authority while their pockets fill with money and their power grows. The Pharisees were the elite educated of their time. Some of them could be very well intentioned, but where they went astray was using their expertise and their power to know the law, to dictate to others what was right and wrong, to micromanage people. The Herodians were people that had cozied themselves up to Roman power and used their connections to keep everybody else down. Together, their power and wealth was challenged by Jesus healing this man. This causes us to pause and reflect. Are some systems actually built to benefit from people being sick? And if that's the case, how do we change those systems? Each of us needs to pause for a moment and ask ourselves a very sobering question. Who are we like in this story? Are we like Jesus? Are we like the billions of people on earth who wonder where they will get medical care? Are we like the Pharisees and the Herodians who have all the access we need and we feel threatened when someone gets access who isn't supposed to? The good news is that we all have the ability to change and to be healed. The first thing we all need to do, no matter who we are, no matter where we find ourselves in this story, is to observe the Sabbath. Jesus in no way tells us that we don't have to observe the Sabbath. In fact, you know, there's this term these days, gaslighting. They're gaslighting Jesus because he actually is observing the Sabbath. And he's telling us to do the same thing. Jesus fulfills and clarifies what observing the Sabbath is. Ironically, in a way, observing the Sabbath is the hardest kind of work. For some of us, there's nothing more difficult than trying to relax and do nothing. Jesus observes the Sabbath by healing and giving life, by committing no harm. We can do that. We can commit ourselves to doing no harm. Everyone deserves the opportunity to repent of their sins, to seek forgiveness, and to dedicate their lives to serving their fellow human beings. Observing the Sabbath is also showing up and participating in organized religion. And you're here. Thank you. Good job. You are in the right place to observe the Sabbath. Well done. And this matters. Organized religion really matters because society itself is changed when there is enough social pressure. Our strength in numbers through our fellowship increases through the disciplined practice of organizing ourselves. What we are doing when we go to church is building power. We want the church to grow because we are the body of Christ. We are Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that we are like clay vessels, jars of clay, holding valuable treasure within us. Paul says that we don't proclaim ourselves, but we proclaim Christ Jesus. Paul says that we have been struck down, but we're not defeated. What does he mean by this? He means that we need to have a rummage sale. I really like my Friday nights and my Saturday mornings. I like to stay up late on Friday. I like to relax, cut loose a little bit. Saturday morning is the one morning that I can sleep in. One morning. And this past Friday, I had a full day, and many of you did too. Thank you to everyone who worked so hard to memorialize and celebrate the life of Earl. What a day of joy as we celebrated his life, of course, mixed with sadness of saying goodbye on this earth. So after Friday was over and I was home and ready to relax on my Friday night, guess what happened? My beloved wife informed me that the minivan was packed full of donations for the rummage sale, and that a truck was on its way, also full of items for the rummage sale, and that I needed to get the church keys and meet her over here at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Let's just say I practiced some deep yoga breathing. I'm smart enough now to know that my wife is the authority that I do need to submit to. So over to church we came. And then something really wonderful happened. Our kids came along too, and they had a wonderful time. They were finding all kinds of treasures to play with. They had a blast pushing our tea carts from the kitchen filled with items over into the shed. And then I had the opportunity to reconnect with Sherry's cousin who made the donation, Denise. The estate, if you will, left over from Barbara Dinger, a beloved member of the church who passed, that she wanted to give to our rummage sale. And I ended up admittedly having a better time receiving that donation, playing with my kids, and talking with my cousin-in-law than I would have had at home. This is what Paul means when he writes that we are slaves for Jesus' sake. Our lives are not our own. We belong to God. We belong to each other. Alone, we have a small treasure in a humble jar of clay, but together, we have an extraordinary power. We have an extraordinary power to heal. We find healing together. We find new remedies together. You might have heard this one before, but sometimes people say, "How come everybody at church is so old?" Did you know that scientists have observed and proven over and over again that people who regularly go to church live longer and have less incidences of disease? That's why there's so many old people at church, because we live longer. God says in the Psalms this morning that God will relieve our shoulder from the burdens we carry. God's hands will free us from the basket of the gravedigger. What a harrowing text. God tells us that God will rescue us. God will answer our prayers in the secret place of thunder. God says and reminds us that God brought us up out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, that God opens our mouth and fills us with good, nourishing things to eat. God will show us new remedies that we have never imagined. God will make goodness and mercy and healing spring forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Please stand as you're able for the hymn of the day.